Today's program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cane5.com.
I'm Grace Bonney of After the Jump, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food here on Heritage Radio Network with me, your host, Erica Weitz. So I haven't talked about my tiny bungalow in a long time. You may have heard me mention tiny bungalow. If you can't remember what that is, it's my teeny, teeny, tiny summer house, summer escape house, barely 400 square feet total, but technically still a house where I retreat to most weekends from April to about October, depending on weather. Now, Teeny Bungalow is in a community of like 50 or so other bungalows around that. And it's only one of a few bungalow colonies or bungalow communities left in the region. Now, bungalow colonies used to be very plentiful around here, especially up in the western Catskills, Sullivan County, and what used to be called the Borscht Belt, where all the old big mega resort hotels had thrived in the first half of the 20th century and then fell into total disrepair and decrepitude and are now going to be brought back as casinos, unfortunately. There were a lot of bungalow colonies around there, but this one was kind of an oddball in that it's much, much closer to New York City. It's really just an hour from Manhattan. And this bungalow colony was founded by communists. Yeah, communists from the garment and fur industries. And it was founded as a cooperative socialist utopian escape from their lives in the sweatshops and garment factories of the Lower East Side of the early 20th century. And it's in an area that was once very rural, Westchester County, but now is just this little green pocket hidden amidst in plain sight in the suburbs. Now, it's no socialist utopia anymore, I can tell you that. It's more like your typically dysfunctional New York City co-op community, but certain elements of the socialist shared ideal are still alive. For example, we have a fenced-in community garden so that we can grow vegetables without basically having a salad bar for the deer open. And we built the fence, of course, to protect it, and everyone has their own box. So we all have our own boxes, and we don't really share anything except a few tools and a watering system. But it's nice to go down there on a Saturday morning and putter around in your garden and chat with your neighbors, or in my case, eavesdrop on your neighbors, or even to just listen to them and roll my eyes behind my sunglasses and my big hat. And you can guess which one of those three things happens the most often with me. And by the way, I may say as well here that we have a pool and a tennis court, and there's a great craft brewery 2 miles away, and there are about 8 houses for sale in the community, and they're cheap. So if you're interested, please message me on Facebook or Twitter, because we could use some new blood in our workers' paradise up there. It's very nice. You can get there by train. So anyway, on Sunday, just a few days ago, I'm down there in the garden, and I'm looking at my little fledgling snap peas and green beans and pulling up weeds and feeling very smug, as I am unfortunately wont to, for getting my plants in early this year and then not losing everything to a late frost, which happened to me last year. And my neighbors, Mel and Muriel, are there. And Mel and Muriel are cleaning out their garden boxes and weeding and getting their stuff ready for planting. But, of course, I did mine a month ago. I win again. Now, Mel and Muriel are cousins. They're probably in their mid-60s, close to 70, and each of them own a house in the community, separate houses, but they spend a lot of time together. I think they're very close, maybe best friends, but don't get any ideas about them because they're cousins, because Mel is gay. But they're very nice, very kind people. Your basic retired New York City public school teachers living it up on their big fat pensions and enjoying the fact that they are in the first wave of baby boomers to have retired. Not that I'm bitter or anything. But I bring up Mel and Muriel because as they're working their rakes and pulling up dead plants and weeds in their boxes, he, of course, is typically way ahead of her in progress. And I say typically, which I'll explain in a minute. And I overhear Muriel wondering out loud why Mel's almost done and she's so far behind on her work. And Mel says to her, "Because you're slow as poop, Muriel." Ugh, messed up the line. "Because you're slow as poop, Muriel." And now I bust out laughing because it's true. She is super slow and physically kind of inept and can never really do anything for herself. And he's very fit and strong and hardy for a guy his age. And he's always helping her with anything physically exerting. And she often gives up on physical tasks. She lives across the street, so I notice all this. But that was the first time I had ever heard him acknowledge her slowness outright or acknowledge that she could never do anything. So I laughed. I LOL'd. But what I was really laughing about in my own smug, superior way again was Muriel's ineptitude at all things physical, although we laugh at that all the time. That actually, that wasn't what I was really laughing at because we laugh at that all the time. No, I was laughing at the fact that he used pooping as a metaphor for something extremely slow, but not something that I can relate to. Now, that is because I know many, many people are plagued with what I'll call Murielitis as a nicer term for constipation, which is what we're talking about here. And I'm sorry about that because it must be near epidemic proportions based on what the typical American eats every day and all the products out there that are marketed for what we'll call the Muriel affliction. But I can't say that I'm a part of that. Now, as I promised Jack, I'm going to try to keep this all very tasteful and everything, in keeping with the usual highbrow level and tone of this show and of this station. But there's no other way to say it. If pooping were an Olympic event, I would be Michael Phelps. And not just because he's the most decorated Olympian in history, but literally in the way he enters the water and just flies seemingly effortlessly down the lane. Now, one of my BFFs, who shall remain nameless to protect her, has suffered from the opposite, from Murielitis, being slow as poop forever. Not that she's slow, but, you know. And I feel terrible for her. We once traveled together in Sicily for a couple weeks, and the mornings were rough, especially after pasta every night. And she, a former competitive collegiate gymnast, just couldn't compete with my Olympic level performance. But what can I say? I'm a great pooper. I'm sorry. Am I making you a little queasy? Is this a little bit uncomfortable? It's not exactly a tasteful subject, but as I always say in each and every episode, in fact, the very tagline for this show, which is about to mark its 100th episode, by the way, is if you don't want to eat shit, ... But we never discuss what happens after you eat shit or otherwise. I mean, we all know what happens, or at least we learned back in kindergarten when you could still actually teach science. I think now what they teach you is that the angels turn it into glitter and it all floats out the top of your head or something like that. But back when we learned about science, we learned what happened. But ironically, the more shit you eat, the worse shit you, well, you know. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back.
This is Chris Howell from Cane Vineyard and Winery, calling in from Spring Mountain above the Napa Valley. Thank you for listening to this show. In our industrial world of highly processed food and wine, we support the values of Heritage Radio Network. All of us at Cane encourage you to seek out individuality and beauty in everything you eat and drink. To learn more about us, go to cane5.com.
Welcome back to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food on Heritage Radio Network with me, your host, Erica Weitz. So Mel, my neighbor, telling Muriel, my other neighbor, his cousin, that she was as slow as poop just cracked me up because I can't even get through a single page of People magazine in there before I'm done and out. And since I had never heard the expression before, slow as molasses, maybe, slow as progress in Washington, slow as an obese mobility scooter riding Walmart shopper, maybe, it made me laugh. And not just out of smugness. I'm more complex than that. Please, no comments. Because that previous week, in a beautifully ironic coincidence, I had been in touch with a company that makes a breakfast food. I'm not calling it a cereal because it's not really made from grains per se, but they call it cereal, but I'm just calling it food. And this breakfast food product has the beautifully poetic name of Holy Crap Cereal. Yes, it's called Holy Crap Cereal, and it's made in BC, Canada, which kind of explains how they can get away with that name, because here I don't think you could, but, you know, Canadians are more liberal and tolerant. And it may be the best named food product ever, except for Kaboom, which was a fruity circus-themed cereal that I loved as a child but was forbidden to consume in the early 70s. I think Kaboom actually may have been banned or something eventually because of toxically high levels of dye in it. Although I can't imagine that happening in that era of Kool-Aid and Skittles and Jell-O. So I don't know what happened to Kaboom, but I think it was called Kaboom because if you ate enough of it for long enough, your heart would just explode in multicolored, sugary, culinary fireworks. But it was really tasty, though. But I digress. Anyway, back to Holy Crap Cereal. Now, I think they must have seen... I don't think. They know. I know. They saw my Huffington Post tirade about cereal a few weeks ago. Oh, did I not mention that I'm writing for Huffington Post recently? Well, I am. Anyway, I did a piece in the Huffington Post about breakfast cereal a couple weeks ago, and I guess they saw it, and so they started following me on Twitter. And since I always look to see who my new Twitter followers are in case they can help me in some way become the world's messiah of foodiness, I looked them up, intrigued. Now, turns out they're just this little company in BC, that's British Columbia, who make this breakfast product with an awesome name that's basically made just from chia seeds and hemp flakes and buckwheat and dried apples and cinnamon. That's it. Pretty simple. It sounded kind of right up my alley. So I sent them a high five kind of tweet to thank them for the follow and thanks for, you know, their interest. And then I thought, hey, I can use my international media celebrity status to get myself some of this stuff. And then I can talk about it on my show in exchange. So I did. Normally, I don't endorse products or even really eat any food products per se. I prefer to buy and consume things in their whole state. I buy my organic quinoa in bulk and then I eat it, you know, daily for breakfast, as you know, with chia seed that I buy in bulk and a poached egg that I buy from Emily Peterson, who does a show on this station, and, you know, my turmeric and my nori. I don't really buy packaged, pre-made stuff, but I wanted to try this. I was intrigued by the name. And I like chia seed, and it's basically just a big bag of chia. And I like how chia, when you soak it, gets all like thick and gelatinous and it looks like tadpole eggs when it's soaked. And it's sort of like tapioca. So the Holy Crap came in the mail and I soaked it overnight as instructed, but not necessary. And I ate some today. Now, if you're used to eating crunchy breakfast cereals, this is not for you at all. And if you need hot, grainy creaminess like oatmeal, this is not for you at all. But if you like the somewhat unusual bouncy texture of tapioca or bubble tea or chia pudding, then you'll like it. It's not a texture we'd usually associate with breakfast, but it's always good to kind of break out of your comfort zone. Not at least here in the Western world, we would associate it with breakfast. It's more like those sort of dessert slash drinks that you'd find in Southeast Asia. Like in Thailand and Malaysia, they make these funny glasses full of like tapioca and gummy bean worms and lotus seeds and corn and condensed milk and aloe juice, which sounds really weird, but they're very popular there and very real. It's sort of like that, but not nearly as crazy sounding or textured or tasting. It's only the slightest bit sweet and I ate some with some yogurt and a little extra cinnamon, and I have to say it was good. I liked it. I liked the texture. It made me very full. It kept me full for a pretty long time. So it's a cool product, and I have to say I like that it's basically grain-free except for the buckwheat, which is a grass seed that's very good for you, full of minerals and good for stabilizing your blood sugar. So all in all, it's pretty cool stuff. It's not cheap, but you don't really eat much of it because it swells up so much and you have to mail order it from them. But I think it's a really good step in the right direction for the cereal eater. So thanks, holy crap, for the samples. I think I'll eat it on those mornings here in New York where it's so hot I can't even bear to press the buttons on the microwave. I think you're onto a good thing, and I appreciate you sending it to me to try. Now, the Holy Crap people, that's funny, Holy Crap people, suggested that I do a contest giveaway, which I've never done before on this show. So here's what we're doing. We're going to have a haiku contest, and whoever can write the best, most tastefully written haiku about pooping will win a gift box of Holy Crap cereal, compliments of Holy Crap cereal. So get to work on those haikus, people, and post them on the Let's Get Real Facebook page, and then we're all going to vote for the winner. Not just me, all of us. And then I'll send you an autographed picture of Mel and Muriel along with your gift box of Holy Crap cereal. We're going to take another short break, and then we'll be back with more poop. Welcome back. Couldn't figure out where that song ended. Welcome back to Let's Get Real. Jack and his crazy music. The cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food here on Heritage Radio Network. And today about what happens to that food after. With me, Erica Wides. And what was I going to say? Oh, remember, you should follow me on Twitter at Let's Get Real Show. And you should also follow the show on Facebook. Become a fan. And you should read my Huffington Post column that comes out about every 8 to 9 days, not weekly. And what else? Oh yeah, Heritage Radio is almost 5 years old this week, or almost this week. We're almost 5 years old, and we have a big fundraiser coming up. But in the meantime, you should still become a member even before that happens. Just click on join. Anyway, remember a few episodes back where I made a big announcement. Remember that? I had a big announcement. Not just that the show was moving to 1 o'clock, but that I realized that I don't know anything. Well, it's still true. I still don't know anything. I mean, who knows if these so-called superfoods are really beneficial, if they're super, if eating all this quinoa and chia and hemp and buckwheat and all of that crap is any better than eating kaboom or mac and cheese from a box. I mean, who knows, really? Are they just fads, trendy foods that we're grasping at in an effort to make sense of our processed food saturated world? Well, yeah. I think we can probably all agree that at least we can grasp, and that a bowl of chia, hemp, and buckwheat is going to be somewhat better for you no matter what compared with a bowl of, let's say, Super Sugar Crisp or one of the cereal evil foodiness fakers like Honey Bunches of Oats or Nutri-Grain. I mean, those processed cereal nightmares are sometimes more than half sugar by volume. And if we can all agree that it's probably not such a great idea to be eating 30 teaspoons of sugar a day, the American average, then at least we're getting somewhere, right? Now, what I can tell you is that you can learn a lot about your health and your well-being by your poop. Oh, there she goes again. You thought we'd finished up in there. We'd flushed that subject away, right? Sorry. Well, no. I'm Jewish, and we Jews, we love to talk about poop. I don't know why. Ask any Jew. Ask my cousin Robin, who lives in L.A., and is featured on the wall of the Gallery of Success Stories down in the Foodiness Fallout Shelter. because Robin totally defoodiness'd her diet a few years ago. And not only did she lose weight, but she also got married and was made a VP at Disney. Okay? So you see how chucking out the foodiness can change your life in dramatic ways. It can even help you find a husband and get you promoted. Amazing. Anyway, Robin and I can attest that Jews, we like to discuss elimination. Not of Jews, of course. Well, we like to talk about that too. I'm not sure why, but we do. So if you're not doing so well in that particular sporting event, if it takes you an entire article in People magazine, not just a column, then maybe you need to reevaluate your diet because, of course, it's all one big circle of life, isn't it? Now, I suggest, of course, increasing the volume of vegetables that you eat. Nothing does the trick more than vegetables. Like last night, I ate roasted cabbage, parsnips, eggplant, and carrots, and lentil soup for dinner. Okay? Just saying. So I want to talk about the lentil here, because I highly suggest using lentils in this way. Very nutritious. Oh, and speaking of the foodiness fallout shelter, which I just did, we have remodeled the bathrooms in the fallout shelter, so that now we are offering you the pleasure of the Toto washlet toilet in there, which I experienced in Japan. And I love so much that I'm hoping to buy one for home use these days. And if you don't know about the Toto washlet, you should look it up. It's truly miraculous. Okay, so now I'm going to change the subject of the show to lentils. From poop and cereal and sugar and Cousin Robin and toilets to lentils. Okay, this is like part two of the show. Today's show is now about lentils. Lentils. They're delicious and versatile and cheap and super nutritious. And they help you poop. Oh, shit. Sorry, I couldn't help it. Lentils really are nature's bottle brush, so to speak. And you can live on lentils and rice alone for a very long time and not starve or die of malnutrition. I'm just saying. Look at India. 500 million people, whatever, a billion, however many there are. Basically living on lentils and rice every day, except now it's also like KFC and French fries, which is a problem. But even here in the USA, times are still tough. Lentils are cheap. I ate lentils for dinner last night because it was Meatless Monday, even though I slipped up during the day and I ate some meat, but it was for work, so it's okay. I had to. But I had my lentils for dinner, and then I dreamed about lentils all night. All night. In my dream, I was trying to get the lentil marketing board to sponsor my show, which seems a little silly because how much marketing money could the board of something that sells for 53 cents a pound wholesale actually have to spare? But in the dream, I kept trying to find the right person at the lentil board to talk to convince them that I should be the new voice of lentils in America. That I could be the Flo from Progressive of lentils, or the Wendy from Snapple of lentils, or the Marlboro Man of lentils. And when I finally got through to them and I pitched myself to them and I told them that I should be the voice of lentils in America, they told me that because I had cheated and I bought the pre-cooked vacuum-packed lentils from Trader Joe's imported from France, I couldn't be trusted with their American product. I was devastated. I had to wake myself up from the dream just to get over it. So what's the takeaway from this week's show, you're asking? Well, as always, it's about not eating shit, but you all know that. Is it about never asking Muriel to do anything for you that you know you need to get done fast or even at all? No, because who would do that? Is it about asking companies to send you free stuff? Well, yeah, of course. We all do that. But no, the big takeaway from today's show is that if you want to happily complete the real Great Circle of Life, not the Lion King version one, the Elton John one, the real, the daily one, you're going to need to dump the foodiness out of your life. Ditch the box cereal, get rid of the crap, cook some lentils. Even the pre-cooked ones from France are okay. Shh, just don't tell the lentil board. And then just keep on listening to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food here on heritageradionetwork.org with me, Erica Wides, your host. Remember, you can always listen to all Heritage Radio Network shows on heritageradionetwork.org. We are on all the time, and we have a massive archive of all our shows from the last 5 years. They're also all on iTunes. And you can also check out my website, letsgetrealshow.com, where you can listen to all my shows and read my vlog. Thanks to Jack Inslee in the control room today. Thanks to Ben Kaplan for writing my theme song. Haven't mentioned him in a while. Remember, if you don't want to eat shit, keep on listening. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.